God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about God's flawless chronology. Last week, I read to you from the book of Samuel. There are some amazing so-called coincidences, the things that we would say, humanly speaking, just happen. Well, nothing just happens. God is absolutely, continuously, faultlessly in control of everything that happens. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't give us choices. Now, how can we put these two concepts together? Well, I don't think we can. My second husband, Addison Leach, was a philosopher and a theologian. And he said this is the great conflict in the intellectual world, constantly trying to somehow or other figure out how God can be sovereign and at the same time give us the freedom to choose. God's sovereignty chose to give us the freedom to choose. And God works all things in His own ways, and yet our choices matter. Let's never forget that our choices matter. And I want to refer now to Asa. And a signal victory was given to Asa immediately at the time of his passionate cry to heaven, "Help us, O Lord our God." That's in 2 Chronicles. Then in 2 Samuel, it speaks of Ahithophel, who goes and hangs himself just at the time of the prayer of the distressed David. And Haman falls, and his plot is broken, just at the time of the fast kept by Mordecai and Esther. My husband and I had what we would consider an amazing coincidence. We really don't have another word for it, and yet, looking back, we knew that God had to be in charge of that. In January of 1996, Lars and I took my daughter and her husband and oldest son to Ecuador to visit the Alca Indians and also the station on which Jim Elliott and I had originally worked when we were first married, and the house in which Valerie had grown up for part of her early life. And Valerie was very eager to show the house to her husband and her son. And we were sitting there in the house. There's a large family of Indians that have taken over the house, and they knew we were coming, and they had prepared hard-boiled eggs and steamed manioc for us. So we were sitting there in what used to be our living room, eating the eggs and the manioc, when suddenly up the trail came a young Indian boy, followed by a tall, blonde foreigner. There are no tall, blonde people in Ecuador who are not foreigners. And this was a young man wearing a very fancy and expensive motorcycle suit, bright blue and black. And this young man walked into the house, looked around, walked over to Lars and Walt, my son-in-law, with his hand outstretched, said something to them, and came to me with his hand outstretched. Of course, I shook hands with him. He said, "I know you." He spoke with a European accent. He said, "I have read 7 of your books in German. I'm from Switzerland. I have always wanted to visit the house that Jim Elliott built. I've been so deeply influenced by Jim Elliott's testimony and life, and I made up my mind that someday I would go to Ecuador and visit that house." This young man had been in Quito about 5 months. That happened to be the day that he decided to get on his motorcycle and ride 5 hours to the jungle, and he, quote, happened, unquote, to come up the trail as we were sitting in Jim Elliott's house. Now, do you suppose that young man could imagine for a moment that he would meet the widow and the daughter of Jim Elliott? We were not on that station for more than 2 hours, I would say. God's flawless chronology. Isn't it amazing? We are not at the mercy of divine caprice. We are at the mercy of a God who orders things according to his wisdom and his love, not according to his whims. He is our creator, our ruler, the Almighty, our counselor, our comforter, father, friend. He is love, defender, fortress, faithful, forgiving, guard, guide, helper, King of kings, and my keeper, Lord, my life, my joy, my master, my peace, my quietness, my redeemer, my refuge, my shield, my shepherd, my savior, my strength, my shade, and my unchangeable friend. Those are just some of the names of God that I have garnered from the scriptures. He is my unchangeable friend who loves me and loves you with an everlasting love and holds us every minute in his everlasting arms. Does God scare you? The psalmist said, "You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" The Lord is with me. He is my helper. Jim Elliot, as many of you know, was my first husband, and he was killed along with four other American missionaries in 1956 in Ecuador, South America. He almost got killed several times before that, and I've thought of God's providence. Why didn't he allow him to be killed when he was in a car that stalled on a railroad track when the train was coming? He and the other guy were able to leap from the car and watched the demolition of the car. Another time, Jim was driving, and the car flipped over in the ditch. He had no injuries. Well, a third time, come to think about it, he was out hunting with a friend, and the friend's gun happened to go off by mistake, and the bullet went through Jim's hair. Amazing, isn't it? Do they just happen? It was not yet God's time for Jim to die. But when God's time came, it seemed awfully early for me. He and I had been married 27 months. But when the time came, God allowed him to be speared in the jungle. Now think, has God spared your life because you have not yet surrendered to him as Savior and Lord? Perhaps. God had some other things that he wanted Jim to do. Another way to die. But all of us have to die, don't we? We need to think about that soberly. My dear friend Catherine Morgan, who is still a missionary in Colombia, South America, and she is, oh, I've lost track, 85 or 87, something like that. But I met Catherine Morgan before I went to Ecuador. She just happened to be home on furlough from Colombia at that time. Jim happened to be in New York City speaking in some churches before he left for Ecuador. He met her. He was impressed with her. He thought, here's a woman of God that Elizabeth ought to meet. And so he arranged for me to meet her. And through her, I was given the privilege of living in a little apartment in Brooklyn, New York, just around the corner from a Spanish man, a Puerto Rican named Luis Montalvo, who just happened to have time to teach me some Spanish before I went to Ecuador. When I went to Ecuador, Doreen, a British missionary who was working in the Western jungle, happened to come to Quito. She found out that this American girl had linguistic training, and she invited me to come and work in the jungle. The man who was helping me with the language, named Macario, happened to be available to be my informant. he happened to get killed very shortly after we had been working together. And then, as I told you last week, a flood happened, which seemed a great catastrophe. The entire station on which Jim Elliot had been working in the eastern jungle was washed down the Amazon. Well, it was a catastrophe in one way. All the buildings that Jim had been working on that year went down the river. But it led to a wonderfully glorious prospect. Because of the flood, that station had to be abandoned, and another station was looked for, and Jim said, "Well, I'm not starting another station by myself. Will you marry me?" And so we were married very shortly after that flood. We had been engaged for about 9 months. The flood happened, and the flood brought us together. My language material of the Colorado language, that which I had worked on in the western jungle before I married Jim, happened to be on a particular bus on which one of those British women missionaries was traveling, and it happened to get stolen. Then, as we were preparing for what was called Operation Auca, when five missionaries were going to seek to reduce the hostility of a group of Indians called Aucas by dropping gifts to them from an airplane, God timed Nate Saint's flights. Prayers were answered. Plans were meticulously made. The weather happened to be right. The part that they needed for the plane happened to arrive. And you know that I'm using the word happened tongue-in-cheek. What I'm talking about is God's chronology, the wonderful, mysterious ways in which God orders our lives. Why do I spend so much time on this? Because I want to encourage you to trust Him. Every experience, if given to Jesus, can be your gateway to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.